Lord Jesus, we worship you today as our Savior and as our God, as our King. And we ask now, Lord, that you would teach us from your word. And we ask that literally your Holy Spirit would be our guide, would be our teacher today. And we pray that you would make us more like Christ. And we pray in his wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, grab a Bible today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just so I can feel better about me, okay, this week I spent my first Thanksgiving alone ever. I was quarantined. Everybody say, "Oh." It was actually kind of cool, though, because I just got to watch the Dallas Cowboys by myself. You know, just me and my Cowboys trying to hang in there, you know, and beat the flu and stuff. We're going to get to 1 Corinthians 12 here in a bit, but a couple things before we get there. First of all, I'll let you guys know that my mom and dad are here today. It's great to have my mom and dad with us this weekend and here today. Usually when dad comes, we make him work, but he's on vacation this weekend. And men, I need you guys to listen up real quick, all the men. Next Sunday is our men's ministry meeting, right after the service. We're going to have pizza. And our topics for next Sunday are, who is God and can I trust the Bible? Kind of the foundation of Christianity. All right, so guys, make your plans to be with us next Sunday after the service for our men's ministry meeting. We're trying to get to the end of our 60-60 experiment and our soul revolution. And today we're going to talk about this idea of independence versus interdependence. And we're going to talk about really where we take this 60-60 experiment from here. I can tell you that as someone who's involved in ministry, that nothing is more exciting than life change. Nothing fires me up like hearing your stories of how God is changing you and growing you. And in turn, then, he's using you to influence the lives of others. Now, here's one of the difficulties in trying to live with this new soul revolution training and trying to live in loving relationship with God and others. We rarely get to see the entire picture. We don't always know about the lives that we've impacted. We don't always know how we played a part in the life change of another person. And listen, we all have a story. And our stories involve the people who have impacted our lives. And here's the thing. All of those people that have influenced our lives, they have stories. So we all have a network of people that had a part in us coming to faith. And we have a network of people that helped us survive a divorce. And we have a network of people that helped us get clean. And we have a network of people that helped us get off of porn. We have people in our lives that have helped us overcome that hurt from our past or helped us move out of self-centeredness that kept us disconnected from God and ineffective in our lives. We all have people that have influenced us. There's this far-reaching network of people that have influenced people that have influenced people who are influencing people. Specifically, this happens right here within Venice Church. As people use their time, resources, gifts, and passions to serve in ministry, people's lives are changed. God is making an impact on lives. God is changing lives, and he's using all of us in the process. And do you realize that that is God's dream for us? God's dream is that we would be transformed by his Spirit, and that we, in turn, would offer ourselves to him and to others so that their lives might be changed and their lives might be renewed. We all have a story, and every story connected to God's story can have an impact on another person's life. And that's how God changes the world. God does it through all of us working together. God doesn't do it through a building. He doesn't do it through a program. He doesn't do it through a ministry. He does it through people whose lives are changed. And then in those changed lives, they impact the lives of others. God changes the world through our interconnected web of influence, where people are willing to stay connected to God, just as we've been practicing in the 60-60. And as we're willing to stay connected, God uses our gifts and experiences and resources to serve the world. And He changes our world. Now listen, our potential for impact is big. We have a lot of potential. Imagine what God could do if the 100 or so of us who are reading the book and staying willing to be connected to God, what if we were fully willing to let God do His will through us? Imagine what God could do. You see, the essence of this 60-60 experiment flows out of Jesus' teaching on the night that He was betrayed. On the night that He was betrayed, arrested, beaten, mocked, and then finally crucified. And so we've been reading it together in John chapter 13 through 17. And Jesus teaches us there that the most important thing that we can do is stay connected to Him moment by moment. Jesus says that we must stay connected with ears to hear and with hearts that are willing to respond. And as we do that, God makes changes in us that we cannot make ourselves. And in this 60-60, God has been doing incredible things in our lives. And God has been changing us as we stay willing. And God is changing our relationships. And God is using us to forge life change in others. And God is breaking addictions. And He's moving people out of broken patterns of relating. And people are growing in peace and patience and joy and freedom in more and loving relationships. God is doing through this experiment exactly what Jesus said He would do if we would stay connected. All right, so check this out. This experiment, this soul revolution, this is not just about living a better life. Please get this. This is not just about living a better life. It begins there. It begins by being transformed by God. It begins with God changing us, but it doesn't end there. Because God cares about everyone, and He wants us to learn to care about everyone as well. Jesus was arrested and suffered that night because He claimed to be the Messiah, the King. He claimed to be bringing God's kingdom. And it was not a kingdom like we think of kingdoms. He wasn't coming by force. His kingdom was coming by choice and by sacrifice. And it was a kingdom that was available to every person that's willing to let God lead. It's available to everybody who will surrender to God's will. And just before He was arrested, Jesus prayed this in John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in Me through their message. That's us. And I pray that they will all be one, just as You and I are one, as You are in Me, Father, and I am in You. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe You sent Me. And I have given them the glory You gave Me, so they may be one as We are one. I am in them, and You are in Me. And may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that You sent Me and that You love them as much as You love Me. This is God's dream for our world. Jesus prays for this unified community of people that will stay connected to Him, stay responsive to God, just like Jesus did, and that we would be one with God just as He was one with God. He prays that we will be led to be this unified community that lives together in a new way, that we live as one. And Jesus says if we'll do that, we will impact the world. The world will see us grow to be this more loving and life-giving people. And the world will see that we're breaking harmful patterns in our lives. And they'll see that we're open-hearted and that we know how to resolve conflicts. And they'll see us move out of self-centeredness and not just care about ourselves, but care deeply about others as well. And they will look and they will say, that's not normal. People who love that way are not normal. And they'll say, God must be in that, because that is not normal. But we have to be willing. We must be willing. That's why Jesus prayed in Matthew 6, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, many of us learned this prayer growing up, but we didn't really know what we were learning. So why does Jesus teach us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? He teaches us to pray that because it's not done. God's will is not done on earth. It's not done unless you and I are willing. And so this must be our continuous prayer. Today, and when the 60-60 experiment ends, we must continue to pray, God, make me willing to do your will. God, keep me willing to do your will. God, your kingdom come. Your will be done through me. Through me. Now, check this out. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have this picture of how staying connected to God and being one with God really works. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Paul writes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. And a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. If you jump down to verse 12, he continues and says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, and so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. He's saying there's different ethnicities. And some are slaves and some are free. There's different socioeconomic backgrounds. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Now, this is an incredible thing. When we understand that, it's truly amazing. When God's will and way are done through us, we form a body. God, who is light and love and spirit and beyond our comprehension, has revealed himself to us in a personal way. He revealed himself in a body in the person of Jesus Christ, a carpenter, a Jew who grew up in Galilee. And this amazing God, he wants us to know him on a personal level. So God revealed himself through a body, through the person of Jesus Christ. And now God still has a body that he wants to continue to do his work in the world. And it doesn't happen through a body like we live in, not like this one that I'm struggling in today. It happens through a body that is composed of people like us who possess different gifts, abilities, experiences, passions, resources, and relational networks. And God works through people like us who choose to be willing to stay connected to him and responsive to him moment by moment. He chooses to work through this body of believers that he has assembled. But he can only do it as we stay willing and connected to him. Do you realize that this is God's vision for us? Do you realize that this is God's vision for you? See, here at Venice, we're just one local expression of this body that God uses. There are churches all over Los Angeles and the world that are being used by God to do his work. It's one of the reasons that we financially and prayerfully support church planters and mission projects around the world. We want to help them fulfill their God-given mission. Now listen, the more willing that each of us is to play our interconnected part, the more able God is to see his will and his ways come to be in our world around us. So I want you to think about this on a personal level now. We're this assembled body, but each of us has a part to play. And God wants us to use our spiritual gifts. You have been given a spiritual gift. And I would just have a couple questions for you today. First of all, do you know what spiritual gift has been given to you? And do you know how God wants you to use your gift? In other words, have you discovered how God wants to use you in service? And if you know what your spiritual gift is, are you nurturing your gift? Are you developing your gift? Now, you may not think that you have a gift because it may not be extremely visible. See, you may, if you're here on a regular basis and you know that I sing and I teach, I do this stuff, you may think that I'm gifted, but in truth, I'm not that gifted. My gifts just happen to be on display on a weekly basis, for good or for bad. And it is not my gifts that make Venice Church go. My gifts play a very small role in what God is doing in bringing His kingdom to this world. It is your gifts of mercy, hospitality, giving, organization, and craftsmanship. Do you know that I can't fix anything? But we have a guy in our church who, by his request, will remain nameless, who is over here at the church constantly fixing stuff that I would make a mess of. And our entire church family benefits because he uses his gifts. Let me read this email to you. My wife, Amy, received this email about a month ago. It says, "Hello, Amy. I've missed church and small group too much here lately, all for legitimate reasons, mainly being work. It seems my boss forgot my desire for Sundays off. Anyway, I have to work tonight. It's going to make me miss trunk or treat. And I'm sad to say that next Sunday will be the last time I make it to Venice Church. I'm moving home to Oklahoma on the 8th. I've thought and prayed long and hard and have decided that Oklahoma is better suited for me." She went on to say, "The reason I'm writing is because I wanted to formally thank you. I used to be heavily involved in church. I loved God, my church family, and I loved ministry. But as it goes, I let life and hurt feelings get me off track. And before I started coming to Venice, I had been 3 years without regularly attending church. My mother's death ignited a flicker of desire to return to God and the church, and a feeling I felt many times since I turned away, but Mom died and I felt like I should come back. Those feelings that I've embraced would always soon fade." She said, "But Venice Church is a very welcoming church. The cafe got me hooked, I'm not going to lie." She said, "But if it weren't specifically for your hospitality, I'm confident I would have turned away again. You took an interest and offered me a chance to be involved without being pushy. I've been shut off and untrusting, scared, but your consistent, quiet concern has helped me re-embrace my Christian ideas. I know that God brings people into our lives at the right time to help us along in this race, sometimes for very short periods of time. I'm thankful to Him for leading me to Venice Church, and I'm thankful to you for letting Him work through you. I'm sad that I've done much spiritual and moral damage to myself and others for that matter that's going to take a long time to work through. But I can again feel God's presence in my life and again excited to call myself a daughter of the living God. And you are a positive part of my story, and I want you to know that you made this life a little easier. Again, thank you. Sincerely, Hannah Kelly." Because Amy and the other people that work in the coffee bar were hospitable, used their gift of hospitality, a life was changed. I don't have any doubt that when Hannah moved back to Oklahoma on November 8th, that she got busy finding a church family where she could belong. And it was because people at Venice Church used their gifts. It's about using your gifts. You are the church. You are the body. It is you using your musical ability. It's you using your administrative skills. It's you working with kids. It's you working with teenagers. It's you caring for those in your small group. It's you being concerned about men. It's you being concerned about women. It's all of you who attend our prayer meetings. It's you. You're the body of Christ. And you see, as we use our gifts together, God does His life-changing work in Los Angeles and around the world. Now, you may not know what gifts you have, And I'll tell you honestly, you can get on the internet and do some spiritual gifts, tests, and analysis, and you can kind of figure out what your spiritual gift might be. There's all kinds of them on the internet. But the best way to discover your gifts is to start serving. Just start serving and try them out. Test them out. I kid all the time about the nursery not being the place for me. The way I know that the nursery's not the place for me is because I've babysat before. I've watched babies before. I know that's not for me. I tried it. It's not for me. Use your gifts. Discover what your gifts are. Get busy serving. And you know what we'll do? If you start serving in a ministry and you say, you know, this isn't for me, we'll help you find another place to serve. Just try it out. Test them. And let me tell you, it's extremely fulfilling to be used of God. When you use your gifts, you will make an impact. God will use you to make an impact, and it's extremely fulfilling to be used of God. And for us to be all that we can be, for Venice Church to be all that it can be, we need you to use your gift. We need each other. We need to validate and encourage each other. We need to celebrate each contribution. Look back at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 20. He says, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. And so the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. And this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. And if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Every part is important. And listen, I am convinced that the behind the scenes, the unseen acts have the greatest impact. That is what God values most. We put a lot of value on the service on Sunday mornings, but I believe that the most ministry doesn't happen on Sunday morning. The most ministry happens when you're serving, when you're in your small group, when you're in your ministry. That's what God values most. That's what most brings God's kingdom to this earth. Now check this out. When you come on Sunday mornings, you see things, they're running fairly smoothly, and you probably think, you know, over there at Venice Church, they're good to go. They don't need any more help. You could not be more wrong. Almost, all right? Almost every Sunday, we need more people to serve in Studio Green, to serve in the nursery. Okay, almost every Sunday, we need more people to serve in our Rockstars Children's Ministry. You may look up here at the band and think, man, they've got everything they need. They've got it all covered. We're always looking for more singers and musicians and technicians. There is a place of service for you. Your gifts are needed in this body. And you are the church. And the church is only as strong as you make it. And when we serve together, when we meet needs together, God does his work to change lives and to change the world. God wants to use your spiritual gifts, and then God wants to use your experiences. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. And he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You know what Paul's saying there? Paul's saying that you've been through some junk. You went through some junk and God was there for you. And God comforted you by his Spirit. And Paul says, now listen, God's going to bring some people in your life that are going through some junk. And you're going to comfort them the same way that God comforted you. You're going to use your experience to comfort them. See, all of us have been given valuable experiences. Some of us have lived through some gut-wrenching experiences. As we're willing to stay connected to God, He's going to use our experiences to help others. He's going to use you to help somebody who's going through something similar. You know, that's one of the things that I've noticed in my small group, in our small group. Our small group is made up of a bunch of guys, and we've taken this experiment pretty seriously. And because we have, men have begun to really open up and share from their hearts. And whenever somebody brings up a struggle or a heartache in our group, there's a man in the group who's been there. There's a guy who has lived through something similar. And they encourage each other, and they pray for each other, and they advise each other. And it's a beautiful thing. God will use your experience as you stay connected, and as you grow, and as you heal, you'll be able to offer comfort, and you'll be able to offer hope to others. All right, so as you stay connected this week in the experiment, ask God, God, what are the gifts that you've given to me? I offer them to you. I want you to use me. And then pray, God, what are the experiences in my life that you want to use to encourage and help others? And finally, God wants to use your resources. He wants to use your spiritual gifts, and He wants you to use your experiences, and then He wants you to use your resources. And here's the thing about resources. God can do more through us together than He can do through any of us alone. When you give to Venice Church, it enables us to do what God has called us to do. It enables us to do what God's called us to do here in LA. And when you give, it enables us to help others fulfill their mission around the world. Just this year, we began partnering with the Boston Project. And the Boston Project is starting new churches in the greater Boston area. And they have four churches going now, four new churches that they've started. And the plan is to start six more by the year 2020. And did you know that there are more Christ followers in Baghdad than there are in Boston? It's true. When you give to our missions program, you're giving to projects like the Boston Project. Many of you are here today because you got a door hanger at your house. When you give, it enables us to reach into our community and touch those who are far from God or who need a church family, a body like this to join with. When you give, then when a family in our church is in need, we can help them. We can help them because you give. Our benevolent ministry helps provide for the needs of our church family members who are in need. See, when you give, you're really giving to yourself. Everything that our church offers flows out of your generous gifts. And we believe that God wants us to do more. But it takes all of us together. So this week, as you're willing and connected, ask God, what are my gifts? God, what are the experiences that you want to use? God, what resources could I let go of so that others might come to Christ and be encouraged? God wants to make a difference through you. Again, on that fateful night, Jesus said something else that's really amazing, and I think difficult for us to believe and understand, but He said in John 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And it can only happen as we stay connected and responsive to God's leading. God wants to demonstrate His love through us. Jesus wants us to do His ministry. And we can do great things for His glory. But it's up to us. We must be willing and we must be obedient. We have to stay willing. Are you doing your part in the family? Are you holding up your end in the body? Let's be willing and responsive this week. Would you pray with me? God, we're amazed at your goodness, amazed that you would save us. And not only save us, God, but that you would call us into your ministry. That you would empower us and gift us to do your will. And so we pray, Father, that this week we would stay willing. That we would be willing to be used of you. God, honor yourself. Glorify yourself through us. Make yourself known through us. Fill us with your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.